You'll be at the Collins Center for the Arts at the University of Maine on Thursday night. You've played so many venues through the years. Do you prefer being in that concert setting where there's a little more silence and people actually listen?
Yeah, I do. And because I kind of came out of theater, I think it's I'm just more comfortable if you're going to. It's a lot more comfortable for a ranting and raving lunatic to have a larger space, you know. It was fun in a comedy club, but it was, I think it appeared a little more psychotic.
You were, of course, a part of The Daily Show for many, many years, a changing of the guard there, and really throughout the late-night landscape. Is there a certain skill set that's required for those jobs, and does it require, for lack of a better term, people being a little bit more vanilla and not as edgy as some?
Well, I think, I don't know, I think, you know, it requires that you, apparently you shouldn't have breasts. it's unbelievable. You know, they can't hire a woman. I mean, it's just stunning. In terms of, I don't think that Colbert is going to be white bread. I think Stephen's going to really kind of stun everyone. So I'm looking forward to it.
You, of course, have made a pretty good living here venting your anger. And I guess the question I would have, how do people look around at the world today and not be angry?
Well, that's always the main question. People say, you know, it's like, people always say to me, why are you so angry? Is it really? I can explain this to you. Especially now, and especially as I've grown older, it's more appalling as I grow older. You know, I kind of understood it. You know, you kind of understand when you're in the kind of quicksand of history in the early 60s and you're still trying to trudge out of stuff. But by now, come on. And that they still try to go back in time. That they're still pushing to go back to 19. They really are. It's like a concerted effort to get back to 1956. Like they were never happier.
Well, I love
than they
this.
Were when things were really they were the happiest when television was in black and white.
Well, when television was in black and white, and when women and minorities were in their proper place, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's. And then they continue to do it. They continue to do it in terms of women, and they continue to do it in terms of minorities. And then they talk about this immigration thing as if it's not racially based. I mean, please, I'm not 5 years old. Of course it is. Our security. All of a sudden, look, when it comes to immigration, it's always been kind of a problem because it's, you know, when the every wave of humanity that shows up at our shores starting, you know, from the beginning. But even, you know, when my grandparents came over and they were the Jews came over, as my grandparents did, and then the Irish and the Italians, there was all, well, you know, and there's always been a backlash of it, you know, against the, you know, groups coming in. But that's, how do you, a country based on immigration can't figure out how to run immigration anymore. A country based on public education can't figure out how to do public education anymore. I mean, come on, did my whole generation have a stroke?
Well, it's amazing. We had this happen here in Maine not too many years ago, a town in the southern part of the state that was largely founded by Franco-Americans. And then with a big influx of Somalis into the state, they begin to get harassed by people whose grandparents had to put up with harassment because they were French.
Yeah, you know, and the French have always been charming about their... They've always been a charming culture when it comes to assimilation. The French, actually, my brother lived in France, and he said that there was a Polish guy who worked. His family was from Poland, right? And he said that his family was from Poland. He arrived in France. His family arrived there in like the 18th century, and they still referred to him as the Pole.
Ha ha ha. We're talking with Lewis Black here on Downtown. He brings the Rant Is Due tour to the Collins Center at the University of Maine tomorrow night. We're about a year from really getting into high gear for the next presidential election, which I'm sure has to fuel some anger. But also, when you look at the slate of potential candidates out there with Rand Paul announcing and Jeb Bush and all of these folks, do you just salivate as a comedian?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like somebody said, you know, you wonder if you always have that, you know, will I be funny again? And I realize I don't really have to be because these guys make it too easy. You know, I mean, a lot of my career has been based on walking into places and just quoting stuff that I've read. And it's Ted Cruz running was like, that was like a rainbow had arrived.
I have to ask you how your parents are doing, because I thought one of the funniest parts of your time at the correspondence dinner was when you told the story about your family and some of their interactions with people.
Yeah, my folks are good. Actually, what's nice is after this weekend I'll see them, so that's good. And I haven't seen them in a bit because of the amount of snow we've been getting hit with, but they're doing well. But you know, it's unbelievable. They're still, you know, my father turned 97 and my mother's 96. So they keep trucking along, and they're still very much, you know, outside of the physical, you know, frailties, which are, you know, it hasn't affected their. My mother called up. I said, you know, she watched. I watched the. She's calling. She always calls up to let the. She watched the HBO Sinatra documentary, and she went on about it for a half an hour.
Speaking of HBO documentaries, have you watched Going Clear?
Yeah, that was really...
Wow.
Well, I was right. Did you see the SNL sketch on it?
I did. That was brilliant.
That was terrific. And for those out there listening, if you go to the SNL, like, it should be SNL Scientology or SNL Going Clear. It's really terrific, even if you haven't seen special, even if you hadn't seen the documentary. The documentary, I was a little disappointed only because it would... I'd like to have some sense of how they've avoided the kind of litigation you think that would be pounding them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to be appearing in the new Pixar film soon, Inside Out, in the role of Anger. I'm guessing there was no audition required for that role.
There was none. They wrote me and said that, and they'd already had the beginnings of the sketch of the character. It comes out, it hits the June 19th, I guess, is when it opens. And I'm certainly prejudiced, but I think it's remarkable.
Well, they do such great work, and I'm of an age where I remember growing up on the Looney Tunes cartoons, which were my favorites, because they always, and much like the Pixar films do today, they always operated on two different levels. There was something visual the kids could get, but then there was a whole nother plane going on.
Yeah, no, and that's, I think, a lot of where these guys come out of that historically, and they're really a brilliant group. I mean, it's amazing to work. I feel very lucky to have worked with them. It's astonishing.
Lewis, can you tell people listening about the Children of the Forest Fund and what they can do to help out that cause?
Yeah, if you go to my website, www.lewisblack.com, and the Children of the Forest is a group that my friend who Tim McQuaid, who helps with my website, he visits Thailand a lot, and there is a group of kids there who really have nothing, and basically many of them orphaned, and they're just kind of left to their own devices, and he has been instrumental, as of others, in terms of trying to alleviate their situation. And I initially got involved. We had a whole bunch of Lewis Black T-shirts and stuff that I sent over there for them. And so there's actually a picture of all of them wearing this, all these kids with my face on them, which is a little scary. But now what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise $25,000, which will send 11 of the kids off to college. And which is a pretty extraordinary. For the price, it's pretty amazing. And they're all kind of committed to going off and coming back and continuing to work with the other kids there. And so hopefully we can continue to do this.
I understand, much like me, you're a big Kurt Vonnegut fan. Do you remember what the first Vonnegut book was you read, and how did that change your worldview?
The first book I read was Cat's Cradle, and it changed my worldview because for the first time in my life, I went, wow, I'm not crazy.
Absolutely.
Somebody else gets it. I'm not crazy to see the world that I do, the way that I do. And he was one of those that, in his own fashion, clued me into the fact that that you could question what was going on, and that you had a right to be skeptical. And he did it in a remarkable manner. And then and then to go on to read Slaughterhouse-Five, which is a tremendous anti-war book, at the time, and still, his work is just, he's one of those few authors that made me laugh really out loud, God. And I was lucky, I did a fundraiser for them there's a Vonnegut, one of the great reasons to visit Indianapolis is there's a place dedicated to Vonnegut and his work and his life.
You talked about questioning what's happening. I mean, do the American people do enough of that these days? We've become fairly complacent over the last couple of decades, and we don't ask enough questions. And isn't that how the people in power want it? Don't question anything?
I think partly it's also they've worn us out. I mean, they make it impossible to listen to them. They're inert in their action. I call it, it's not government, it's Groundhog Day. you wake up and they, what are we not going to do today? And I think the proof of that, for all I hear about what side people, the American people are on, I'll tell you what side they're on. They're on the side of shut up and do something. That's the side. Because only that last election, which the Republicans deemed to be a mandate, 34.6% of the American people voted. I mean, come on. It's the least amount of people who voted since 1942 when there was a war on. I just think it's stunning that they basically, the terrorists couldn't have immobilized us more than that. More people would have voted if they said the terrorists were going to stop us from voting than what they generated in a peaceful November day. They couldn't. Most Americans couldn't go the four blocks to a half a mile to vote. They really got a nerve, these guys. I mean, they really do. They're just beyond anything I ever imagined. It's like a fictional government. As a friend of mine said, when you read about this stuff, it's like you're reading the Vonnegut novel.
Lewis Black, The Rant, is due tomorrow night at the Collins Center for the Arts at the University of Maine. Lewis, great to talk with you. Looking forward to the show tomorrow night. We're trying to get the last of the snow gone by the time you get here.
Please do. Please, I can't look at it anymore. We started our tour in Rochester, in Erie, Pennsylvania, and it's just been constant ever since. So, I'm just anything that vaguely resembles spring would be nice. But you guys live up there for a reason, and I've yet to figure it out.
We're working on that ourselves, absolutely.
Well, thank you for your time.